And please turn in your New King James Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I don't know if over the internet this is sounding any differently, but we have different recording facilities here, meeting in an unusual place. So if it sounds a little different, well, there's a reason. In any case, let's turn to Psalm 145 and let's hear it as we read it. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious, and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom, and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Well, as Larry has pointed out, at times, often within the book of Psalms, there are groupings of Psalms. We think sometimes of the first two, which we speak of sometimes as the gateway or the gateposts into the book of Psalms. For they speak of the two great themes, of course. They speak of the praise of God and Messiah, God's King. We think of Psalm 119 as being sort of a group of psalms, any psalm. We think perhaps of Psalms 113 through 118, those used even now by the Jews during Passover time, and those which compose the so-called hymn that Jesus and his 11 disciples sang in the upper room the night in which he was betrayed. Well, there are a couple of other, well, there are several other groups of psalms together. Well, the songs of degrees or of ascents. And this psalm, Psalm 145, fits into a couple of different ones. There are psalms in which every verse starts in Hebrew alphabetical order with a new letter. We would say, children, each verse starts out, verse 1 with the letter A, and verse 2 with the letter B, and verse 3 with the letter C, D, E, F, G, H, H, A, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, C, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. 26 verses, each one starting with a new letter. Well, there are several psalms in the Bible that do the same thing, except using Hebrew letters. We all know about Psalm 119, for example. It has all those different sections to it, each of 8 verses, and each one starting with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet in alphabetical order. I wonder if you children remember this. The first section, verses 1 through 8, every single verse starts with the letter Aleph. Verses 9 through 16 with the letter Beit, and then Gimel, and then Dalet, Hey, Vav, and all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. Well, we know about this, but you may not remember that there are several other psalms that do this as well, though one verse at a time, not blocks of 8. And so Psalm 25 is this way. Psalm 34 is this way. Psalm 111 is this way. Psalm 112 is this way. And Psalm 145. Now, none of the rest of them have blocks of eight. And if I remember correctly, none of the rest of them are perfectly that way. For example, Psalms 111 and 112 are not long enough to have all the verses. This isn't either. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. This has 21 verses. I forget which letter is missing. It runs in my mind. It may be the letter Nun, but I'm not sure, which is like our N. So first of all, that's one group that this psalm is in. The second is this. This is the first one of a group that goes all the way through Psalm 150 that are specially psalms of praise. One commentator has noted that there is not a bit of complaint in 145, 146, 147, 148, 149, or 150. In fact, there is no petition. There is no intercession. It is all praise of God. And as you were paying attention when I read through this and you read along with me, why that should have struck you. There is not a bit of David, and this is, it's noted here that it's written by David, not a note of David crying out for God to help him or anybody else. And there is not a bit of David talking about difficult circumstances. It's all praise and adoration of God. Quickly, David talks here, first of all, in different verses sprinkled through here, of God's greatness. We just read that, and we sing about it when we sing in Psalm 145. He praises God for what he is. He praises God for what he is. And you can see this all through here. Secondly, he praises God for his mighty works. God is not only a great God, but he does great and mighty things. And David, in different places in this psalm, looks around at the different grand and wonderful things that God does by his mighty power, by his unfathomable wisdom. But most especially in this psalm, does David celebrate and give thanks and praise for God's works of grace, God's work of mercy, God's work of love and kindness. What in verse 8 we see as translated, verse 9, goodness. Goodness. For those of you who are theologically kind of tuned in, you might be thinking of the Lord's goodness, the Lord is good to all, that this has to do with some attributes such as his justice, and his righteousness, and his holiness. For after all, God is perfect in his justice. God is beautiful in his holiness. He is absolutely unsullied in his righteousness. But that's not what David's talking about. David is talking, and you see it in the context of verses 8 and 9, and really, in many ways, verse 14 to the end, through verse 21 there, God's grace, his mercy, his kindness, his love. And also, the word in here is compassion. His kindness and goodness to all living things. And in here, it is implied anyway, particularly to his people. Do we have anything? Have we been given anything? Do we exist in a state that is in any way better than the hell that we deserve? Of course. Of course. It is because of God's grace. It is because of his mercy. It is because of his love and his kindness and his compassion which he extends to his creatures. And most particularly, in a saving way, to those people whom he chose out from the sinful humanity, chose out from before the beginning of the world, chose out to love, to redeem, to make perfected eventually, and all through a way that preserved the righteousness and holiness and justice, and I might add in there truth. In his wise counsel, the triune God devised the way and plan of salvation that brought together all his attributes, that made them shine forth beautifully and abundantly. God did this in eternity and has worked it out in time and in space. He has worked it out here in this world, in and through the person, the second person of the Trinity. That was a little redundant there. Please don't mind that. He did so through his only begotten Son, who became man, fully man, lived a perfect life, that might be given, the credit of it might be given to his people. Died an atoning death as the perfect sacrifice given by the perfect high priest. And because he paid to the uttermost the penalty for sin there at the cross, because he was able to say with absolute truth, "It is finished," because he was able to thus give over his life, commending his spirit to his Father, quoting from Psalm 31, of course, but he was giving his life over to his Father because sin had been paid out. God had been paid off. God's wrath had been burned out upon him. Because of that, he could not be kept in the grave. Sin was dealt with. The wages of sin is death, but if there be no sin, there can be no death. And so he is raised from the dead as our victor. He is raised from the dead as our Redeemer. He is raised from the dead as the one who has made us perfected. It is in all that that to us is given grace, mercy, kindness, love, and compassion that endures forever and ever and ever. Now, as well, God deals with our needs not only for eternity, but in this life. In fact, he does that kindly even to those who are the reprobate, even to those whom he has left off to go their own way. Even to them, he gives kindness in this world. And so often we sing at Cove McCoy, don't we? "The eyes of all upon thee wait. Their food in season thou dost give. Thine open hand doth satisfy the wants of all on earth that live." Now that's from Psalm 145c, and I didn't want to sing it because your eyes would be, or your minds anyway, would be turned back to the back of the room with all that food just waiting for it. But God takes care of us in all our temporal needs as well. What a wonderful word of assurance, and what a help in these times when sometimes we are tempted to think, what shall happen tomorrow? What shall happen next week? What shall happen next month? What shall happen in the next few years? How can we live? God provides for the raven. God provides for the lily of the field. God, believer, provides for you. In all this, there is praise. Let us tune our hearts to this praise. We'll sing from Psalm 145 now. And let's remember, the reason we have all this good here, the reason we can give all this praise, is because God has provided his only begotten that we might have it in him. Psalm 145, we're going to sing so our tummies aren't swaying our minds and swaying our hearts. We're going to sing from part B.